All righty. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace. Let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time this morning. Lord, we thank you for the ability to assemble and to praise you and worship you and declare the truths of you, God. I just pray for your Spirit just to come and fill this place, Lord. I pray for your presence to rest on every person in this room. God, we just command anything that's not of you to leave. Nothing be allowed to hinder in our time to distract us. God, I just pray that you would just come in your fullness. Lord, I pray that we would just experience the fullness of your presence today. God, we pray that you would be pleased with our sacrifice of praise and declaration of your name and who you are. Just receive it, God. And just come, Lord, and just have your way with us. Lord, I pray that for those that are watching us, even they're not physically in this room right now, I pray for your presence to land on them too. That they would experience you powerfully, that they would encounter you in a great way today. Because, God, you're not limited to a location. You're everywhere. Lord, just come and show yourself to us. Have your way with us. Have your way. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There were a lot of things going on with and around the birth of Jesus, just like there are a lot of things going on right now. As we enter into the week of Christmas, there is and has been a lot going on, and there continues to be a lot going on in our world. But what encourages us is knowing that God is in control and that he has a plan and that he sees us and he knows our circumstances. The events surrounding Jesus' birth show us that God had a plan and that he sees all. And even those who are unseen, and those who consider themselves unseen, he has a plan for them too. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth." So here, an actual angel was sent. Now to be sent is to be deliberately directed, deliberately pointed to a specific person or to a specific destination. And this angel was sent to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. It was a place despised that none would expect an angel to be sent to. But God sent an angel there. It goes on to say in verse 27, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of a salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Now, we know why God did this way. This conception was divinely done so that no sin was passed through the bloodline. And Joseph came from the bloodline of David, which the Messiah was prophesied to be from. It goes on to say in verse 32 of Luke 1, it says, "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Both Joseph and Mary were people of integrity. See, they weren't just picked for the prophecy to be fulfilled. They were picked because of who they were. They were people of integrity. And in this story, we see God not just select and use people, but we also see God do the impossible with them. And not just once either. Mary's aunt, Elizabeth, who was barren, would also be chosen to see the impossible happen with her. With her too becoming pregnant when she normally couldn't be pregnant. Elizabeth being pregnant was one thing. She was already married. But with Mary, this creates a problem. She was an unmarried woman who had not been with a man. And suddenly, she's pregnant. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. So, they were favored. They were chosen. But in looking at this, it's kind of like, wow, to be favored does seem to open the door for problems. You know, not just for Mary, but for Joseph both. You know, this story of an immaculate conception from the Holy Spirit would be hard for most people to believe. Most people would jump to the conclusion that Mary had been unfaithful and therefore guilty of adultery. And the penalty for adultery was death by stoning. For Joseph, this too presented a problem. You know, he was a righteous man. He obeyed the law, but he loved this woman. And now she's pregnant. People will accuse her of being unfaithful, and this is an embarrassment for him, you know, being a righteous man, and he's going to marry someone who's unfaithful. But he didn't want to see her killed either. He loved her. And they were betrothed, which meant that they were engaged and had agreed to this relationship. And so, even though they were not actually married yet, they were legally bound to one another. And so to break the relationship now, it would require going through a divorce. And he thought about divorcing her. But still, this is a hard thing to do. And then there's the public disgrace for both of them. You know, so he was going to do this quietly. He was going to do this secretly so it wouldn't attract attention. So to be favored here invited death, possible disgrace, and hardship. Verse 20, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So once he's come to this point of seriously considering this, God intervenes and confirms Mary's story to him. Joseph needed to go through with this. But Joseph was between a rock and a hard place here. You know, either way was hard, as it was for Mary too. You know, to go forward with this divine plan. But to do so looks difficult, no matter which way you slice it. With Mary, she's visited by an angel. But for Joseph, he's also trusting all of this, stepping out in this all because of a dream. I mean, you see an angel, that's one thing. But when you have a dream, it's like, is that really from God, or did I eat something last night? And, you know, what is this? Now, compare them to us today. You know, as God's people, we are all favored, right? Yes. We are His beloved children. And yet, we face difficulty and challenges in this time. You know, this time that our world is in, we are confronted with fear and division as we try to do life. You know, life as a Christian and walk in faith. Facing fear. You know, many are facing challenges in this holiday season. And we have our enemy prowling around in a fear-soaked climate. But we're favored. And just like Mary and Joseph, we too need to persevere. Their experience here that they go through is preparation for what was coming later, because as this story would go on, the stakes would get higher. Matthew chapter 12, verse 13. Now, when they had gone, meaning that this is after the wise men had left, okay? An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So the wise men leave, and Mary and Joseph are encouraged. These men from the east have come, and they have affirmed Mary and Joseph's decision to go through with the marriage and have the child, and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and you know, that's going to help them out financially, right? You know? And so things are starting to look good. And then all of a sudden the angel shows up and says this, you know, "Get up, you know, take the child and your mother and flee to Egypt. You know, Herod's searching for the child." You know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, here we go again. I'm starting to feel good, and now all of a sudden stuff's getting kicked up all over again. It goes on to say in verse 14, "So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Now, Herod was enraged with the Magi, the wise men, for not following his instructions and returning to him with information about the Christ child, about where he was. And so, in his rage, he kills all the babies in Bethlehem and its vicinity from 2 years old and younger, because he's afraid that the Messiah is going to be a threat to his throne, so he's going to remove all the threats. And once Herod died, you know, again, you know, the Lord speaks to Joseph. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life were dead.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" So he feels safe when he's in Egypt because they're in a community of Jewish refugees. And so, you know, every big city had these pockets of refugees in them. And so he's in there, you know, he feels safe. And then after a while, God says, "Hey, guess what? It's time to move again. And this is where you're going to go." And so as they go there, he finds out about Archelaus. And Archelaus is also, you know, a bloodthirsty tyrant, as Herod was. And so he, you know, it's like, here we go again. You know, we're going into another dangerous situation. You know, but then they end up going to Nazareth. You know, here again, Joseph is not physically visited by an angel like Mary was. You know, he has another dream, and these dreams kept directing him. And, you know, I would think it would take a lot of faith to make a drastic move on a dream. You know, when an angel shows up in front of you, well, that's a different story. But when we have a dream, we question them. You know, is this from God? Is this not from God? What is this? And so he's moving his family, and as he's moving this family, this brings fear, you know. But the thing about it is he's directed to a safer haven. But although Nazareth was safer, Nazareth was not seen as respectable to some, because Nazareth was a city that was more isolated. It was in the hills. It was kind of isolated. But because its borders touched the borders of lands that were not Jewish, the people were considered unclean. And this is how strong they adhere to this thing about being clean and unclean. Even if property lines touched, then then anything that touched that which is unclean, anything that touched anything that's unclean, you know, is unclean, whether it be land or people or anything. And so they looked at the people of Nazareth as unclean. And so some people looked down on them, despised them. And therefore, the people from that land are considered inferior. But Joseph obeys and therefore fulfills the prophecy. And God prepared him with the birth and in following the dreams, which would lead to his moving his family that would save Jesus' life and probably the life of both him and Mary. You know, but God knew Mary and God knew Joseph as people of integrity who would go through with what God put in front of them. And it doesn't mean that there weren't feelings that they didn't have as they did this. I mean, throughout this entire situation, we read over and over again that Joseph was afraid. He's afraid here, he's afraid here, he's afraid here. You know, but in spite, in the face of fear, he still obeys. So for us, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to feel uncertain. It's okay to have these feelings that come sometimes when God causes us to step out into something that's risky and challenging and uncertain. It's okay to feel the feelings. The issue isn't the feeling. The issue is being obedient in spite of the feelings. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So this is... You know, this is when he finds out about, you know, Mary's condition and falling through with this. And so, again, you know, he's faced with problems here. But in spite of the problems that he's facing, he stays the course. But the thing about it is here, I want you to notice that he even stayed the course privately. There was the things that he did that were more outward, but he also was obedient privately. You know, even after he's married, he did not consummate the marriage. He didn't sleep with his wife. He didn't sleep with the woman that he loved until after Jesus was born. He kept her pure. You know, in other words, he denied his wants. He denied their wants to keep her pure. You know, and then he names the child as he was instructed. Again, he was a man of integrity. You know, and he didn't just do this stuff out of obedience. But he did this to save people. You know, he kept Mary pure to protect the perfect, undefiled sacrifice so that that sacrifice could pay the price for the sins of all mankind. So these two people, they persevered in the face of difficulty, in the face of pressure, in the face of risks. They persevered. And this isn't just the story of the first Christmas. This is the story of integrity under pressure. You know, Christmases can be hard. You know, we talk about this as being the most joyous time of the year, but for a lot of people, it can also be the hardest time of the year. You know, today we have, for example, when you get this time of year, you know, I've noticed that I hear about a lot of people passing away around Christmas time. You know? At this time of year, people lose their jobs. Families are estranged, you know, or even divided as they either come into this time of year or over this time of year. There can be financial challenges this time of year. You know, some people make major changes in their lives this time of year. I mean, there's a lot of people that actually move during the holiday season. Now, all of these things would be challenging normally, but they seem to be harder when they happen this time of year because of what is going on with the season. Now, you add to all of that the shadow of COVID, its variants that are looming overhead, and all the fear and the confusion and the division that comes with all of that. But But back in Mary and Joseph's time, in their situation, you know, she's pregnant and she's not married. You know, Joseph could have divorced her. And she could have been stoned for adultery. But in the face of the challenges, look at Mary's response here. And this is Luke chapter 1, verse 39. So, she had heard about her sister Elizabeth now being pregnant. And it says, now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So Mary went quickly, and she went with purpose to see Elizabeth so that they could encourage one another and share with one another, you know, because they were both in similar situations. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were both advanced in years. So Elizabeth couldn't have children. Now, she was too old to have any. She was the daughter of a priest, and so she was a pure woman. She was a righteous woman, and she was a virgin at marriage, and priests could only marry a virgin. And so her and Zacharias are righteous. You know, they're married, they're committed to God, they live for God, they served Him, and they walked in the commandments and the ordinances of God. And even still, they had a problem. Elizabeth could not bear children. And for a woman to not to be able to have children, they were seen as cut off from God. They were seen as God has disapproved of them. And she was seen as someone who was cursed. And this was punishment for some sin that she must have committed. And although this was bad for any woman, it was especially bad for the wife of a priest. And it says in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Luke, it says, now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. So, Zacharias was a priest, and he was a part of a division of priests. And his division was the eighth of 24 divisions. And each division served the temple once a week, twice a year. In his daily worship in the temple, incense was burned. It was burned on the altar by the priest who was serving, and it was done before the morning sacrifice and after the evening sacrifice. And it symbolized that the sacrifices were being offered up to God in the sweetest, the most prayerful of spirits. The aroma of the incense was like a prayer that enveloped the sacrifice, and it carried it up to the throne of God. And so this was considered to be one of the highest of the priestly functions. But because of the number of priests, the opportunity to receive this privilege was determined by the drawing of lots. And so therefore, some never had the opportunity to do this service. But even though this was the opportunity of Zacharias' career, it was all overshadowed by the fact of his wife being barren. And again, there's that belief of if you're barren, you've been disapproved of by God. But he's still faithfully carrying out this service. Even though he is someone who is disapproved of, but by lot he was chosen. And he was chosen by, they used lots and believed that, well, you know, if you got the lot, then this is an act of God. But yet he's disapproved of. He goes on to say in verse 11, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Now, the sight of an angel would be shocking, I would think, right? this man offering up sacrifices who believes that he might be disapproved of by God, but yet his prayers have been heard. Not only would he not die, see, here's the thing. They believed that when an angel appeared, they were afraid they were going to die. Because to be visited by an angel was like coming into the presence of God. And no man can look at God and live. And so when you read about a lot of times where the angel would appear in different times and say, do not be afraid, it's like, don't be afraid, you're not going to die. So not only is he not going to die, but he's visited by an angel while you know, and God is going to grant the impossible to him. He's going to take away their embarrassment. He's going to answer their prayer. Now, here's the thing about this. See, what man considers unworthy is not seen as that to God. You know, whether it be in who we are or in our service to him. You know, God can and does do great things, and he does those things with those that the world would consider inferior. I mean, they thought that they were looked down upon, they were disapproved of by God, and yet God shows up and does this great thing and answers their prayer, but they're supposed to be despised. Luke chapter 1, verse 14. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, in comparing Mary and Elizabeth's situations here, you know, Mary's pregnancy was miraculous, but it created a problem, you know, in a bad way, at least at first. For Elizabeth, you know, she faced disgrace, but her pregnancy, you know, after being a virgin, was a blessing. And John's birth would take away her disgrace. You know, her pregnancy was also miraculous. Zacharias was visited by an angel, you know, but his wife Elizabeth wasn't. You know, with Mary, she was visited by an angel, and Joseph wasn't. You know, and these people were either unknowns or they were disrespected, but they were all found worthy. You know, Zacharias and Elizabeth are going to have a son, and he would be a prophet. He would prepare the way for the Messiah. That person, that one that they've been waiting for hundreds of years. You know, and he's going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah, you know, the great prophet. And Jesus, he would be the Messiah. You know, the Savior of the world, you know, born to Elizabeth's cousin, Mary. And Zacharias doubted, but Mary did not. But both were visited by an angel. It says in verse 18 of Luke chapter 1, Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." So, his silence, even though we would look at that and say, oh, that's not good, you know, it's going to validate the experience. If he had just walked out of the temple and said, hey, I had this happen today, some people might have said, oh, yeah, right. You know, but when he comes out and he can't speak, it's like, okay, something has obviously happened to this man. But the thing about it is this wouldn't be seen at first. Going down to verse 21, Same chapter, Luke chapter 1. The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days for his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now let's go back a little bit to Mary's visit with Elizabeth. Okay? This is Luke chapter 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Now, as I said a minute ago, Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, okay? Elizabeth was actually Mary's aunt, you know, sister of Anna, Mary's mother. Anna married first Eli, you know, father of Mary, and Elizabeth was married to Zacharias, who was a priest of Aaron. So, Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit and is the Son of God. And John is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when the two of these ladies come together, you know, John reacts, jumps for joy. Now to Mary, and you know, I mean he's jumping for joy to the presence of Mary, but also to the fact that, you know, to Jesus, who, you know, she's pregnant, so where Mary goes, Jesus is there. You know, and he's reacting to this, even though he's not been born yet. Now, Elizabeth is 6 months along at this point, which means that at 6 months, their lungs are fully formed. I mean, at 6 months, they have fingerprints. At 6 months. And he can hear the sounds outside of her. He can hear the sounds around her. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she says that, you know, you will see the fulfillment of what you have stepped out in faith. And so then Mary bursts out into this song of praise. It's called the Magnificat. And this is Luke chapter 1, verse 46. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, for this time all generations will count me blessed.'" So Elizabeth's reaction and declaration to Mary was a confirmation of the angel's promise. She keeps getting these confirmations all along the way. You know, God has chosen this poor person. I mean, Mary was an unknown. You know, God chooses this unknown person for such a tremendous honor that would be spoken of for generations to come. Going down to verse 49, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him." You know, God's power has done great things in her. God is holy. He is set apart from all others. He is the only true God. And He's merciful to her and generation after generation, you know, bringing Jesus, the long-awaited Savior, into the world to save the world. And she gets to be a part of that. Verse 51, "He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the rulers of their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed." You know, Jesus' coming will do three things. It will scatter the proud. Those who think in their hearts and their minds that they're better than everyone else. He will dethrone the mighty, those who have misused their power and authority, and He will exalt the humble. And He will fill the hungry and empty the rich. Verse 54, He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our father, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. So God has helped his people. You know, the people needed God's mercy. They needed God's deliverance, and God remembered them. You know, the promise that God made all the way back to Abraham, God is fulfilling. He remembered his promise, and he fulfilled it. And it says in verse 56 that Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. So what caused her to rejoice with all the challenges that were in front of her? You know, this is a message to us right now, to praise in the midst of challenge. As far as we know, there had been no prophetic voice prior to this. There had been 400 years of silence. You know, after the book of Malachi, everything went silent. You know, 100 years after Israel returned from the Babylonian captivity, which would be 450 B.C., and then Judah becomes subject to Rome in 63 B.C. Now, after 400 years of silence, suddenly angels are appearing. God is speaking in dreams. And prophetic utterances are being made. I mean, Mary's song is an example of this. You know, Zacharias, who was silenced for doubting the angel who told him of the birth of his son, was restored once he named him. You know, obeying the angel. And he names the son just as the angel said. He called him John, which was unusual because Zacharias was expected to name his son after himself. But with that, and the birth of John, Zacharias' silence would end. And so his tongue would be loose, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to prophesy. You know, that God has visited his people and raised up the Savior who was prophesied from long ago, that he would fulfill his promises. And he repeats some of the same things that Mary would say in her song, you know, of God's remembering his promises and of God's mercy, and that they would enter into a time of serving God without fear, and that God would enable them to live righteously and to serve him forever. Then he starts to prophesy about his own son, the son that is going to be born, that had just been born, that he would be God's forerunner. He would prepare the way for the Messiah, that he would be a prophet and proclaim knowledge of salvation and forgiveness of sins, and that John would proclaim the rise of the Messiah, who would bring light to darkness and hope where there was none. Revelation, understanding to where he had not been, like they had not known before. With all of this, the old way was gone. It was a new season. The old season of silence was gone. The old season of awaiting the Messiah was gone. He was here. But it was a confusing and scary time with challenges. But in the midst of it all, a Savior was born, and nothing would be the same again. Just like today. What we know before is gone. We're in a new season. It's a new season that's still taking shape. There's fear, there's confusion, there's difficulty. But it is clear to some that God is up to something, and he's been up to something for quite some time. As we look at our second Christmas under COVID, nothing is like it was. But God is doing something new. He is tearing down, he is clearing away, and he is rebuilding. And we were all born for a time such as this. This is why you're here. God wants to do something with us here, now. And what that is will come into view and will take shape in the weeks and the months to come as God unveils it, little bit by little bit, piece by piece, because that's the way he's moving right now. The first Christmas was a beginning, and God is instituting a new thing now today too. And he's been doing this past year. You know, in the shadow of fear and confusion, God is doing something new. You know, the first Christmas with COVID was somewhat restrictive, even though things had eased up a bit, but there was still fear and there was still uncertainty. This year, there's more division than we have before, along with the confusion and the grip of fear is tightened. But Christmas is going on with a bit more steam than it had last year. As we go into this Christmas, we also encroach on the threshold of 2022. The question is, what have you faced this year? What was challenging? And under the pressure of those challenges, how was your integrity? You know, Joseph was afraid, but he pushed on. Mary seemed to kind of be unwavering. But together they helped one another and they followed the Lord and they were protected and guided by God, and God affirmed and validated and blessed, and they were blessed to be used by God to bring Jesus into the world. How does God want to favor you? Yes, you. And how does he want to use you to bring his plans about this Christmas and next year? In these stories, we see faithfulness. We see that people had visitations and they had dreams. You know, some were nobody. Some were people of position. You know, some were unknown. Some were despised. Some were scared. Some doubted. And some did not. And this doesn't just describe these people. It describes us now. What has God given you? What are you waiting on? What have you been promised that seems impossible? Do you see all that you have right now? You know, don't despise what you have. Do you feel unworthy? Do you feel inferior? Do you feel like a nobody? You know, we see in these stories that God powerfully used those who saw themselves that way, or they were seen that way, but God used them. Because in God's eyes, no one is inferior, and none of his children are unworthy. What have you stepped out in that seems crazy? What have you been experiencing or stepped out in that doesn't make sense? Maybe you're waiting for answers and they haven't come yet. You know, how long did Zacharias and Elizabeth pray about having a child? Until they eventually saw it. But when they saw it, it was impossible. But they saw it. You know, things sometimes happen the way that they do, not because of the way we want or we expect, but they happen the way that they do for God to get the glory. And this is the thing about being the children of God and being used by God, is God will do things that we don't understand sometimes, or we have to wait because it's about God getting the glory. And sometimes God gets more glory when we have to wait a while and it happens his way than it happens as fast as we want it. This all happened in God's timing, not theirs. They were chosen. But to be chosen meant that things happen in God's way and in God's timetable, not theirs. And it's the same thing with us. We are all chosen. All of us are chosen, which means that when God does stuff with us, it's going to happen in God's timetable and sometimes not ours. But when it does happen, it will be better than you can possibly imagine, because it's about God getting the glory. So in this time, wherever you are, don't quit praying. Don't quit hoping. Hang on, persevere, and be encouraged. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for answered prayer. I thank you, God, that you do things the way that you do. We don't always understand it. It doesn't always happen when we want it to at first. But when it finally does happen, it's so wonderful. And it's a blessing. Lord, I just pray that all the prayers and all the hopes that we all have, that we're waiting on, that we're praying for, we just pray for their coming about. But I pray, Lord, that they would happen in your way and in your timing, because you know it's best. And it's about you getting the glory. Lord, I thank you that every one of your children are not inferior. They may not be known by everybody, but that doesn't mean that they're unworthy. Because you have made us all worthy. Thank you, God, for what you do in our lives and what you do in us personally. We just give you glory. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before you go, let me ask you these questions. First question is, in the face of the pressures and the challenges of the season, how have you done in maintaining your integrity? How does God want to favor you and use you to help bring about his plans this Christmas and in 2022? Do you see God's favor on you and in all that he has given you, or do you just see the negative in it all? What are you waiting on and have been promised that seems impossible? What have you been experiencing or stepping out into in obedience that seems crazy or doesn't make sense? What is the longest that you have prayed and waited before seeing answers in your situations? And how have you done in staying the course in your situations this year? God bless you. And for those of you watching us on Facebook, I just pray you have a very Merry Christmas. God bless you.